honor. You know, so it's good to have everybody back in God's house. Acts chapter 28, verse 3. And when you have it, you can respond with an amen. And it says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Acts chapter 28:4. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. Verse 5. He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Tell the neighbor next to you and tell him this morning, you have to shake it off. Shake it off. Tell your neighbor, shake it off. And you know what I'm saying by that. Shake it off. And go like this. Shake it off. Shake it off. You may be seated this morning. I was inspired by a song. Not that particular song. Maybe that song. I'm not going to let you know if it was or not. But I was inspired this morning to see how through different challenges that Christians face in their lives, Pastor has been preaching about the next big step, the next big leap, and he's been bringing inspiring messages. But sometimes on our journey in our faith, we go through challenges. We're going to face difficult situations. And a church that doesn't preach to you and is honest to you is a church that's lying to you. Because when you follow Christ, you will have tribulations, you will have trials, you will have test. You will have different circumstances that are going to challenge your faith. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Paul and what he was living in. I'm not going to concentrate so much on the where he was going, but on what he was living through in that moment. Paul's life was a life that was living in submission. It was a life that he lived through, following God's plan. His whole life was designed by God. His whole life, every step that he had was a divine design for him. Every fall, every trial, every tribulation, every step that Paul took was perfectly designed by God to build his character, make him stronger, and put him in the right places where he needed to be for ministry. Sometimes God will put us in the right places with the right people, but we have to recognize who are the right people for our lives. Who are the right people we are letting in? Who are the right people we are letting know our secrets? Everybody that God has placed in our life is not by coincidence, but it's by design to build our character. The reason why you're here this morning and seeing this family of the faith is because we are called to help each one another, to help each other out. This is not a race for the individual, even though salvation is individual, but God calls us a family of faith. We are collaborators in Christ, the Bible says. We are not in competition with each other, but we are in collaboration with one another. And here Paul was going through a difficult situation. He was on his way to Rome. He had been a prisoner for 2 years already. And here we find Paul shipwrecked. Here we find a man that he was basically fighting for his freedom because some Jewish counselors and Jewish high priests were accusing him falsely on certain things, on religious law. But he, as a Roman citizen, appealed to his Roman citizenship to be tribuned in the Roman government. And through these challenges that he was facing, we find him now shipwrecked in an island, 60 miles away of where he needed to be. This was a small island, about 17 miles long, 9 miles wide, and it was far away where he needed to go to. And we find Paul stranded. We find Paul shipwrecked. We find Paul in a very difficult situation because he wasn't able to control his conditions. He wasn't able to control his circumstances. He wasn't able to control why he was there. He just had to accept that he was there. Paul could not understand maybe why he was going through that transition that he was living through. Paul had given the commander, the captain, instructions. He said, we shouldn't go out in the storm because we'll lose life. We'll lose cargo. We'll lose people on this boat. But the commander and the captain of the ship ignored him and continued on to the right. And the Bible says that they went through the storm. They went through the storm. And the Bible says that they were shipwrecked and now they were stranded. Now, Paul had to go through three different situations, and that's what I'm going to explain about in this sermon. He had to go through three different situations that he needed to learn how to shake it off. Tell your neighbor again, shake it off. Shake it off. Here we find Paul stranded on an island. The Bible says that he was miserable. The Bible says that he was cold. He was wet. He had the people that was with him weren't eating because of the fear, the anxiety. So here we find Paul stranded on an island. He was, first of all, physically stranded. He had no way to get off of the island on his own. He had no resources to do it alone. He had no resources. So he was stuck there with people that, with other prisoners. He was stuck there with murderers. He was stuck there with rapists. He was stuck there with other type of people, the low people of society. And all he was accused of doing was preaching Jesus. All he was accused of doing was believing in the resurrection of the dead. And he was there with these people. And we find Paul stranded with all these different criminals. And he couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't physically get himself off the island. Not only was he physically stranded, but he was politically stranded. He was a prisoner. He was a person going through the Roman government system. He had appealed to Caesar. So he had no freedoms. He had no rights. He had the same rights as a prisoner. Maybe you in your life right now are stranded at your job. Maybe you feel right now that at your job you have no growth opportunity. Maybe you feel that at your job you've had plateaued. And you feel like there's no way out. But one thing I can tell you is shake it off. Keep being humble and keep being persistent. One of the things that you're going to find frustrating is because you don't have that advancement. You don't have those opportunities of growth. But one of the things that Paul kept continue doing was he kept being humble. He kept working with the others. The Bible says that Paul continued to gather wood with the rest of them. Paul continued to gather wood and he kept working pretty much for his rescue. And sometimes we will lose opportunities for not maintaining our humbleness. We will lose opportunities for not maintaining our humility. We will lose an opportunities for growth when we are not just being obedient to pretty much the rules and thanking God for the job that we have and the opportunities that God has brought into us. And so here we find Paul being humble. He kept working with the people. He kept bringing firewood to bring to the fire. He kept maintaining a pretty much a low profile. He wasn't saying, I am an apostle, I am a church planter, I am this, I am that. He didn't let his personal ego, he didn't boast of who he was, but he maintained humility of his current situation. Maybe he felt that he didn't have progress. Maybe he didn't feel like he had advancement. But everything that he was living through was part of a higher design. So even though you feel stranded at your job, even though you feel physically stranded, maybe you feel stranded in a church point of view, maybe the opportunities aren't open up for you, keep being humble, keep growing, keep working hard. Maybe there's a time that you need to learn how to work with the rest of them before God can put you and rise you up as a leader. Maybe God has to teach you how to work with in collaboration with other people before he can make you ahead. Maybe God is trying to teach you how to work in unity with one another before he'll let you lead your own group. Only those things can come through humility. Because there are things that you're going to learn when you're humble that you're not going to learn when you're prideful. Because when you're prideful, nobody can teach you. How many can say amen? Because when you know everything, you can't learn anything. You stop growing. You stop being a student. You stop being a person that can receive from others. And when you stop learning and you stop receiving, you stop growing. You stop growing as a person. You stop growing as a husband. You stop growing as a student. And you stop growing as a leader. When you can't learn from others. So here we find Paul physically stranded. We find him stranded, but he needed to learn to shake it off. He didn't say, God, why did you do this to me? God, how did you allow this to happen? He just learned to shake it off. The next point, and I'm going to read, verse 4. Acts 28:4, it says, when the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, though he just escaped from the sea. justice has not allowed him to live. So here we find Paul now, he was trying to work with the other people. He was trying to work with the prisoners. He was trying to work with the people from the island who showed him kindness. And now we find Paul, as he was putting firewood into the fire, we find him that out of the fire jumps out a snake. And the snake bites him. And the snake strikes his hand. And the first thing that he does to get the snake off, what does he do? He shakes it off. Sometimes there are things that are going to come jumping out of you that you just need to learn how to shake it off. I bet you that snake surprised the life out of Paul. I bet you that snake just came out of nowhere. And according to some scientists and the animal planet and all those people, I don't like snakes. I don't like talking about snakes. I like mentioning snakes. I just have to mention it because it's in the Bible here and it's part of the message. So supposedly, per the scientists and per professionals, snakes only bite when they feel threatened or when they're scared. Those things never look scared to me, but supposedly they only bite when they look scared. Let me tell you something this morning. When the devil sees progress in your life, he's going to strike at you. When your haters are seeing progress in your life, they're going to strike at you. When people that live a life, they're trying to pull you down, they're going to strike at you. Because you're getting close to God's fire. Because you're trying to make a better life. Because you're trying to change your ways. People are going to come out of the woodwork and just snap at you. Become just to bite at you. To try to bring you down because they're seeing the progress that you have in your life. The thing is, people who are stagnant in life cannot see other people make progress in their life. Can somebody say amen to that? There are people that are not going to celebrate your house. There are going to be people that are going to celebrate your promotion. There are going to be people that are not going to celebrate your business. But you have to just learn how to shake them off. And maybe sometimes as people, we want people to care about us. And maybe we want people to care for us. But when our troubles come and nobody helps you and they're not there for you, you're just going to have to learn how to shake it off. Just learn how to shake it off. Just, you know what? You didn't help me. I just got to learn how to shake you off. And the funny thing is, if we read verse 6 of this, and I think this is the funniest part of the story. I'm sorry, Paul, but, you know, I think this to me is the worst part of the story. I'll put it that way. And it says they're waiting, on verse 6, Acts chapter 28, it says they're waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. Man, yo, that's dirty. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be very, you know, collected, guys. I'm trying to be very professional preacher. But, you know, sometimes I'm from New York, so, you know, sometimes I can't keep that under control. Yo, they were dirty trying to do this to him. You know, they were like, all of a sudden, yeah, I was like, oh, man, any second now. I mean, any second now, this guy's going to fall dead. And not only that was the messed up part, that people were waiting for him to fall dead, but you know the writer of the book of Acts, you know what his profession is? He's a doctor. Luke was a doctor. Is there a doctor in the house? No, he was too busy writing. He was too busy writing a book. Oh, man, it's so good. This is juicy right here. This is going to be a bestseller. Luke, being a doctor, did not help him. And Luke, being a doctor, did not come to his rescue. Luke, being somebody that had the professional training, that had the professional expertise to help Paul, was writing here. And they were waiting for him to swell up and finally fall down dead. Sometimes you're going to have people in your life that see you struggling and are just waiting for you to fall. You're going to have people in your life that see you struggling and just want to see you come down. But thank God that we have Jesus that will not allow us to fall. Thank God that we have Jesus that He will not let us die. Thank God that we have Jesus that He will never let us down. But you're going to have people in your life that are going to see your struggle. They're going to see what you can do in your life. They're going to hate you for your potential. They're going to hate you for the opportunities that you have because they are themselves stranded. They are themselves spiritually bankrupt. They are themselves spiritually unavailable, emotionally closed off, and they can't see someone else progress. When they see you and someone else are together in the same path, help each other. If you and another leader are struggling, help each other. I've seen marriages that won't help each other out because one wants to be more successful than the other. What was that? So one wants to be more successful than the other. But that's the thing. We have to learn how to collaborate. Here we have in the life of Paul, in the life of this man, that they were waiting for him to suddenly die, suddenly fall, surrounded by people who could help him, surrounded him, and nobody stood up. But the first thing they said, and the first thing they said about Paul is, he is a murderer. My God, what kind of help, what kind of people was Paul with? The first thing they did to him was accuse him. Yo, let's find some, you know, some tropical leaves or something. Let's, put your hand on the fire. Let's cut the hand off. Something I've seen in The Walking Dead. Maybe that works. I don't know if that works or not. They get barely chop it off and they're able to save the body. I don't know if that works or not. But, and here we find nobody gives a solution. Nobody gives him help. Nobody gives him a type of medicine to help him out. No, they're waiting for him to suddenly fall dead. The only help that they gave Paul was accusations. That's the only thing they did. The first thing they said, this man must be a murderer. The city hasn't allowed him to live, but now justice has finally prevailed. Man, when people see you struggling, they're going to come up with all sorts of things. You know why he's struggling? It's because he did this. Yeah, because he did that. And that's the first thing, the first help people try to give you is to tell you, you're going through this because you're wrong. Because you're a sinner. And you need to repent because you do that. And that's the first thing people try to do is bring out the most negative things inside of you. But let me tell you, church, this morning, when you see somebody suffering, when you see somebody struggling, help them out. Don't accuse them of anything. Because you don't know the process that God has bringing them through. You don't know what God is helping them through. And they're going to be purified better than gold and better than silver. We cannot allow ourselves to be borrowed to criticism. We cannot allow ourselves to be borrowed to judging others. We cannot borrow ourselves to make false accusations of other people. We cannot allow our lives and our mouths to be borrowed for those certain things. Here, these people were borrowed for that. And they began accusing him. And he was stricken by this snake. He was stricken by this animal, stricken, and now he had a poison that was running through his body. And now, the last point was, when you are slandered, you have to learn how to shake it off. When you are slandered, when people lie about you, when people make false assumptions about you, when people make false accusations about you, you have to learn how to shake it off. And the thing is, you're going to learn in life, people are fickle. People change their minds about you in an instant. People will say one thing about you, will glorify you, say, man, Moses is the best dude ever. And then Moses is the worst dude ever 5 minutes later. I texted him, he never texted back. He's the worst guy ever in the world that the world has ever seen. People will change quickly their opinions about you. That's why you cannot worry about the opinions of people, because the opinions of people change quick. It changes quicker than Houston weather. It changes so fast. Let's continue reading. And it says, they were waiting for him to swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But when they waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. So he went from, in the same verse, Paul went from a murderer to a god. Man, people are terrible nowadays. Man, people are fickle. That's why you cannot worry about people's opinions about you. That's why you cannot worry about people say about you. Because in the beginning of the verse, you were a murderer. By the end of the verse, he was a god. That's why we cannot worry about what people say, about opinions dragging us down, about opinions making that our identity. Because the opinions of people change no matter what you do. The only thing that you can do is keep your eyes on God and doing His perfect will. And the only opinion that matters is the one that God has given you over your life. If He's called you a child, then you're a child of God. If He has called you saved, then you are saved. If He has said you're redeemed, then you're redeemed. Don't worry about what these other fools say. Just worry about what God has said over your life. How many can say amen up to that? We cannot worry about what people say about us. We cannot worry about the opinions of other people that don't understand the process. Nobody understood where Paul was going. Nobody understood that he needed to present himself in Rome. Nobody understood that he wasn't a murderer, that he was a person that was just preaching Jesus. That's why he was a prisoner. But nobody understood that. Sometimes we have to be careful about what happens in our life and the way we handle confrontations. We have to be careful about the way that we handle when people talk about us. Because what we allow is, here we find Paul, that he was bitten. He had poison, venom going into his system. And I did a little research. I said, I'm going to preach, let me do a little research on venom, I said. So here we find, I found that there was three different kinds of venoms. The first one is, and I'm gonna butcher the pronunciation of this because I'm not, again, a snakeologist. And it says a proteolytic something. Venom that dismantles the molecular structures of everything around the bite. And I was asking God, how can I put this into a spiritual context in the life of a believer, in the life of a person? It's like, it says it begins to dismantle the molecular structure. Basically, it begins to break down the cells. Cells are pretty much the smallest thing that composes the human body. It's the structure that puts everything together. So the first thing, that the first type of venom that there's out there that's dangerous to us, and it begins to destroy our foundation. It begins to destroy our molecular structure as Christians. It begins to make us doubt of who we are. It begins to make us doubt of who has called us. It begins to make us doubt of the one that has saved us. It begins to make us doubt and believe in God that He can actually save us, that He can actually help us. And it begins to break down the foundations that we have laid for our lives. It begins to break down the very being, the very identity of who we are. The second type of venom that I found was the hemotoxic. Hemotoxic is a venom that acts on the heart and the cardiovascular system. So it's a poison that goes straight to the heart that begins to shut down the lungs. It's a venom that begins to make it difficult to breathe. How many times have people talked about you and it's affected the way you feel? And it's affected the way you love? And it's affected the way how you love others? Because the thing is, people have hurt you so much that you find it difficult to open your heart to someone new. People have hurt you so much that you find it difficult to allow other people into your heart so you can love and care for them. Because you've been disappointed so much, you've turned away on your heart and you've closed your heart down. And the last one, the last type of poison that's out there is a neurotoxic. Hurting because of the opinions of others. Some of you are hurting for that employee review, that they don't value you at your job. Maybe they don't value you in your family. Maybe you don't feel a value of where you work, or where you preach, or where you teach. Maybe you don't feel that. You feel disappointment. Or a past relationship, a past friendship, a family member has hurt you. And God tonight wants to heal that part of your life. God wants to heal that part of your body, because He doesn't want you to struggle with that anymore. Because it's seeing how it's affecting your relationship with your family, and He's seeing how it's affecting you, your relationship with Him. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask for you to please step forward, and we'll pray for you. We're going to have pastors pray for you.